You know, we've been covering some weighty issues in our series studying the letter of 1 Corinthians, but as we usually do on Pentecost Sunday, we are going to take a break from our current series for the special focus of this day, and I thought given the very kind of didactic or straightforward teaching of the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians, that for Pentecost Sunday, it would be nice to feature an Old Testament text that is a bit more poetic in nature. So open your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 37. If you need a Bible, there's one on the back table. We'd be glad to gift you with one or just use it this morning. And we read the full text earlier in the service, so hopefully you were here for it. And, you know, it may seem odd at first to have an Old Testament passage for our text on Pentecost Sunday, but I think a deeper look into this passage will show that it captures the essence of Pentecost and points us to the hope of the message of Pentecost. In fact, if you look at the lectionary readings for Pentecost Sunday, not surprisingly, Ezekiel 37 is the Old Testament reading in the global church. And by the end of this morning, I hope you'll understand why, for Ezekiel 37 is our title this morning, an invitation to life that foreshadows and prophesies the New Testament life we have in the Spirit. But before we jump into that invitation and what and who it involves, a little just introduction and background and context to Ezekiel is necessary in order to understand what's happening in this passage. It's important to know that in the time that Ezekiel prophesied from 593 to 571 BC, Israel was under attack from Assyria and was eventually conquered and carried off into exile. And if you want just a little, you know, handout, we have these on the back table. Obviously, I know we don't expect you to write all that down, but we have these in like a little bookmark form on the back that we made for our First Samuel series. Stick it in your Bible. It helps you understand always the context of what's going on as you read the Old Testament. But Ezekiel himself was already taken into exile into Babylon in 597. And so he's there already during everything he describes in the book. So this is a people captured, taken away into a foreign land, exile, essentially left for dead, without their land, and so they felt without their God. And up until basically chapter 36 of this large book, the situation is dark and gloomy. It's void of hope. Death and darkness seem to reign everywhere. And that's the picture here in verses 1 and 2, where Ezekiel says, "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of God and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry." This is a horrible situation, a frightening picture of essentially mass graves, describing the state of God's people. It is a desperate picture, a lifeless and hopeless scene. And perhaps this morning you feel somewhat dead inside, somewhat hopeless. Perhaps it's due to your own sin as it was for Israel, or perhaps you just feel the hopelessness of being a part of a broken and sinful world, a world of injustice and death, and you feel almost in exile. The situations around you maybe look or feel like a valley of dry bones, and you despair. You wonder if there is hope, if God even cares. And whether it's your own life, where you feel the life has been sucked out of you, or whether it's a situation around you, I have good news for us all this morning. There is an invitation from God to come and live, an invitation to life. And that invitation from death to life, from hopelessness to hope, it involves or needs three things according to this passage. And that is the sovereignty of God, the Spirit of God, and then all of us, the servants of God. And so we'll go through these, starting with verse 3, the sovereignty of God, where Ezekiel says, "God asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' And I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." To me, this is just the most emotional, gut-wrenching portion of the passage. I mean, imagine the discouragement, the total despair Ezekiel must be feeling as he sees this horrific sight of dry bones, dead bones in the valley, bones that represent his own people. Can you imagine the heartache, what he must be feeling at that moment? And so the Lord asks him, "Ezekiel, can these bones live?" And it's likely a rhetorical question, meaning the implied answer is probably, "No, of course not. These bones are dead. They are, as it says, very dry. How could they possibly live again?" But Ezekiel, and I imagine him barely being able to get the words out as he looks upon the vision of dry bones and the hopeless and dead situation of his people, Ezekiel musters up all the faith he has within him and says, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." What a statement, right? In a hopeless situation, all Ezekiel can do is humbly confess that only the Lord God himself could possibly bring life to this situation. He proclaims the sovereignty of God. He essentially says, "Lord, of course these dry bones cannot live again. They're dead. But you, Lord, are sovereign. And if anyone can bring them to life, it is you and you alone." And that is exactly what the Lord does. In fact, I would say God specializes in these kinds of situations. He has a special heart for them or inclination towards situations that look hopeless and chaotic, and he loves to come and transform them. And that's what God does in verses 4 through 10. He brings the dry bones to life. This is who God is. This is what God is all about, bringing things that are dead to life, and most importantly, bringing people to life. I mean, this is the message of the Bible from cover to cover, that God bringing life, true life, real life in him to situations that are lifeless. But what or who specifically brings people to life? It is the Spirit of God. The Lord says in both verses 5 and 6, "I will put breath in you, and you will come to life." And then verses 9 and 10, "Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come, breathe from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. And so I prophesied, and they came to life." The Hebrew word here for breath, ruach, it can be translated wind or breath or spirit. And there's usually a little of all of those things going on in these kinds of situations, just like it was in Acts 2, where it says a violent wind, what felt like a violent wind, blew from heaven. And it's made obvious here in verse 14 that that's what's implied, as God more directly says in verse 14, "I will put my spirit in you." If you hear anything this morning, this Pentecost Sunday, potentially this last Sunday where this pulls in my way, if you hear anything, hear this. It is the Spirit of God, and only the Spirit that brings life. We cannot manufacture it on our own. All our attempts at the full life God calls us to will fall short if they are not totally and utterly dependent on the life-giving Spirit of God. However, I do want you to notice something important in this passage. That is a pattern that is repeated throughout the Bible. Yes, it is the Spirit that brings life. But God chooses, in God's sovereignty, to use and work through our words and actions, to partner with servants of God. Two times, Ezekiel says, God said to me, prophesy. And two times it says, so I prophesied as commanded. In both verses 4 and 9, God tells Ezekiel to prophesy to bring these dry bones to life. And notice it is not the Lord that directly prophesies to the dry bones. He asks Ezekiel to do it. Ezekiel proclaims the heart of God and partners with God to bring life. I can't stress enough the importance of understanding this partnership that God desires with each of us. And this is part of the message of Pentecost, that through the Spirit that God gives us, He calls us, all of us, me and you, men and women, young and old, rich and poor, all nations and races, to bring life to hopeless and dead situations around us. And this just blows me away, but tells us so much about who God is and how God works in His humble ways. I mean, God could send angels here this morning to play us beautiful songs that capture the heart of God. I mean, as good as Marcello and our musicians are, I mean, these would be stunning musical arrangements from heaven. God could drop down right before our very eyes some incredible images or art or videos that God created in order to minister to us. And God could then send His Spirit to audibly preach a sermon directly from the throne of God with 100% theological accuracy. And yet, God chooses not to do it that way. Instead, He partners with flawed and broken musicians. Musicians dependent on the Spirit of God to prophesy and bring life with Him through songs. Songs that human beings have written and composed and arranged in their own brokenness. He inspires artists to create images to help visually communicate God's heart. And He uses lowly, broken, stubborn preachers like me to hopefully faithfully proclaim the words of God and call upon the spirits to bring life. And He invites you in the struggle to bring life and redemption to this broken world, to bring hope into hopelessness, to bring His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. See, God sends us into the valley of dry bones. And as we humbly admit the sovereignty of God and that only the Spirit of God can bring life to a situation, He partners with servants of God to speak life into those situations. So I want you to close your eyes right now. The band's going to return and begin playing, but as we often do here at Oceanside, it's not just about hearing the preaching, but it's about responding to the Word of God, to the Spirit of God. And I want you to think of a situation that on the surface appears to be dead. That is, in the language of Ezekiel, is full of dry bones. It may be a workplace environment, it may be a family, it may be a situation of injustice that the Lord has put on your heart, whether global or local. It may be a relationship such as a marriage that is so broken it appears to be dead. It may be an individual person who seems trapped in darkness and decay. Any situation that looks somewhat hopeless, get that situation in your head. And now I want you to imagine yourself standing there in that valley of dry bones, like Ezekiel. You hear the voice of the Lord saying to you, "Can life possibly be brought to this situation?" And I want you to respond to the Lord and say, "Sovereign Lord, You alone know." Humbly confess God's sovereign power and your dependence on the Lord to bring life to that situation. And now imagine the Spirit of God coming into that valley of dry bones, that workplace, that family, that relationship, that person, and bringing life. Imagine God breathing His Spirit of life into that situation And now imagine him sending you to participate with him in bringing that life, to prophesy life, so to speak. Maybe not with words, but maybe with words, but certainly with your actions, your love, your care, your prayer, your Christ-likeness, as we talked about last week, the call to imitate Jesus. And now imagine that situation coming to life through the breath of God, the Spirit of God. Imagine that workplace being transformed, that family being under the peace and joy and reign of Christ, that marriage being renewed and being a picture of Christ and his church, that person being changed and transformed and becoming a new creation in Christ, being everything they were designed and created to be by God. Now, if you believe the Lord might be speaking to you, if you can imagine the Spirit of God coming upon you and with you into this situation, if you believe you might be sent as a prophetic witness into this situation as a servant of God, if you desire an Ezekiel type of anointing to be able to say with your words or actions, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, come to life, come and live. If you sense that, I just want you to stand right now. I'm not going to ask you to do anything else. We're going to stay prayerful. But just stand right now as a sign to the Lord in your inner heart, saying, yes, Lord, here I am. Send me to partner with you and your Spirit to bring life in this situation. So go ahead and stand so we can get a sense of how and where the Spirit of God is moving right now, and so I can pray for you. If someone is standing near you, and you know them, you can begin to pray for them. If you don't know them, you can begin to pray for them. If you know them, you can put a hand on them. But let's pray for these people, for an Ezekiel type of anointing into these dead situations around them. Lord, the amount of difficult situations that seem hopeless, dark, and void of life can almost be too much to bear. And I cannot know them all, but I can say, Sovereign Lord, you know. So Lord, first I pray for these people that the breath of God, the Spirit of God would come and bring life to these situations, that you would give us faith and would come. Lord, that we would see what you see, to see potential for life in situations that even look completely dead. And Lord, I ask that you would give an Ezekiel type of anointing to these sisters and brothers, these servants of God, to join you in prophesying life to the dry bones around them. Lord, may we not despair despite the scene in front of us, but instead awaken our hearts and spirits to have confidence that you will bring life. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated if you're standing, but I'm going to ask that we remain in a prayerful state, and I'll ask even that you keep your eyes closed. We're just in a time of communing with the Spirit of God. These verses anticipate and foreshadow the New Testament hope of when God brings all of his people out of exile, from death to life, through the resurrected Christ. And so the question is, have you passed from death to life this morning? Perhaps some here this morning walked through these doors feeling spiritually dead inside. You've never asked Christ to remove your sins and come inhabit your heart and make a home. And although you don't have it all figured out because of one message, there's something inside you this morning that is crying out for God to come and make you alive through his life-giving Spirit. That same voice, same God that spoke to those dry bones is speaking to you and saying, come and live. And if that's you, just as a sign between you and God, so that I can affirm your decision this morning, if there's anyone here who's in that situation this morning, would you just lift up your hand as the outward expression of what's happening inside? Amen. Amen. God sees those hands. Let's welcome these people into God's forever family. God, we thank you for your Spirit at work and moving here. God, we thank you for these sisters and brothers who are saying, I want to come and I want to live. And whether you've made that commitment to invite the life-giving Spirit of Jesus to come live in you, or you're just feeling called to bring life through God's Spirit, we want to close by just using this next moment to open up any dead places, whether in our hearts, our community, our families, and cry out to the living God. So the band's about to do what we've talked about this morning and what Ezekiel did in our text. They're going to prophesy life. They're not here to perform, but rather to prophesy over you and over us. And if you feel led, you can just participate in any way you want, whether singing, standing, kneeling, crying out to God, any other expression of your heart. This song is called Dry Bones.